The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Yes, yes, yes. The cool thing, you can now get TNT merch, TNT t-shirts. I haven't actually checked out the store, but probably backpacks and baseball caps and all that sort of business. But I'm thinking, and I haven't seen them yet, but that old black and white and red, you can't go wrong with it. The old TNT logo looks pretty good. So yeah, treat your friends, your family, and maybe even your enemies to a TNT t-shirt this Christmas. Of course, there's a dress code here, unlocked and loaded. And thankfully, my next guest, he knows what time it is. He's in his black t-shirt. I'm in my black t-shirt, my black fleece. Luke's hiding behind the TNT logo. I want to believe he's in the studio rocking a black something or other. Maybe that's why he has his screen turned off, because he's maybe wearing his white frilly shirt. I don't know. But Luke, I want to believe you're wearing black. What am I waffling about? TNT, of course, because it's the business. I have a website. Not a website address. An email address now, where all my fans and my enemies and my detractors and my advocates can contact me. Rickmunn@TNT.live. Let me know what you think of the show, or maybe not. Let me know some guest ideas, topics of conversation, some feedback, positive, negative. I don't care. I'll read it all. And I might even reply to you if you're nice. And don't be sending me any funny pictures either, because I'm not into that sort of thing, okay? None of that. Don't abuse it, folks. Don't abuse it. So yeah, what's going on today in the world? Well, on the show, it's been great. I've had Natalie Chill. I've had Jonathan Weissman. I've got Jesse Smith waiting in the wings to pounce all the way from America. And, you know, it's been ages since you've been on. I looked at my little black book, my little file on Jesse Smith, and it's been 6 weeks. 6 weeks? A month and a half since you were last on, through one thing and another. But the planets have aligned again, and he's back in the studio. Before he takes the mic, I want to look at some items that are, well, worth talking about at the very least. Let me see. Well, yeah, there's a lot going on here. There's a sad one I saw today. A post was put up yesterday. A young girl who was studying to be a doctor. I think this was her mother that put the post up. I said, I can't say for sure if there's a link. Yeah, it was her mum. I can't say for sure that there's a link, but our beautiful 20-year-old healthy daughter, Regan Lewis, had a COVID shot yesterday so she could participate in her clinicals. She was studying to be a doctor. Today, she went into cardiac arrest and has been flown to a place called Kearney. She's on a ventilator and is fighting for her life. Please pray for her. And there's a picture of her with her mum, and one with her clinical gear on, and another one of her graduation shot. And then a post today just got word she's died. They don't care who they target. Okay, the doctors are not exempt. Politicians are not exempt. Police are not exempt. Army are not exempt. No one is exempt from this depopulation program that these globalists are running out. And the sad thing is, when you see the faces of the people that are being killed, and you look at children who are losing limbs and babies that are being given blood transfusions with contaminated blood, it's horrific. It's horrific. That's why we're trying to stand up and fight back against it. What are we doing to protect households from the cost of energy global price crisis? Well, there's a graph up here. Let me bring it up. My eyes aren't the greatest right now. The UK are spending 6.5% of their GDP subsidizing energy companies to keep the lights on. I'm looking for America here. Looking for the US. It's not even on the list. Holy heavens. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, Jesse. You're not going to get much help this Christmas, mate. You're going to freeze like I'm doing right now. See, I've got my winter fleece on. It's too cold here to put the heating on. We're protesting against the energy prices by choosing to freeze rather than pay their prices. So this is coming your way, my friend. China announced that their CBDC will expire if it's not used. I looked into this, and Chris Sky, the infamous anti-globalist commentator, is telling us about this story here today. Apparently, this broke last April, that CBDCs in China, the digital yuan, would have an expiry date. That was not confirmed. There are tokens that are given out for certain consumables that run with an expiry date. But this is something, Jesse, we will talk about in this hour. There's an element to these CBDCs I think has been overlooked to this point in time. It's not just about controlling, but they will also be used as a means to stop the accumulation of personal wealth. So if you don't use it, you lose it. You can't stack them up. You can't hoard them up for a rainy day. You must use them by a certain date. So we'll go into that maybe in a little bit more detail during the show. And finally, Senator Malcolm Roberts has put up a clip from Air Canada's website. They have now dropped Canadian government's decision to lift remaining C-19 restrictions, including requirements for wearing masks on aircraft from the 1st of October, which is tomorrow. Interestingly, Air Canada then had a bit of a dig at Trudeau by saying that Air Canada welcomes the removal of these restrictions, acknowledging that air travel is safe and the measures were not justified by any science. So here we have Air Canada almost turning on old Justin Castro. And yeah, maybe the tide's starting to turn. He's not a likable human being. You know, I can't say I hate anybody, but I have a serious disliking for Justin Trudeau. He's what we call a slappable face in Northern Ireland. You know, you see some people, you don't know who they are, but you just want to slap them or punch them in the face. They've just got that face. And I have one of those faces, by the way. I've been told I've got a very slappable face. So, you know, I can't say anything about Justin, but no one's ever slapped me yet. Anyway, it's time to get stuck in again. This is TNT Radio. We have an app on the App Store, on the Google Play Store. We're on all the major streaming platforms. We're on all social media platforms. If you haven't already done so, download the app and follow us on social media. Repost what we're doing. Try and get the word out there and let's help the station grow. Because that's what it's all about. We need to grow and we need to overcome these globalist vermin. And we're going to do it with your help here on TNT Radio.
The stories affecting you.
They cover the important stories.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My best friend has just texted me. He's listening in. Johnny Fisher, you old dog. Johnny Fisher has just texted me. Slap. He would love to give me a slap, I'm sure, but as per now, he can't really do it. So, Johnny, God bless you, sir, and I'll get around to see you hopefully this weekend. It's been a crazy week, so big salute to him. He's an author, by the way, and if you go onto Amazon, he has 3 books that I strongly encourage you to buy. He's a sci-fi author, writes short stories, is incredibly talented. I've known him for a very, very long time. I recommend his first book, August Always, which is his memoir, his life story, and then 10 Minutes on Mars, and then Where the Stars Be Still as Bright. So there's a little plug for Johnny there. Stuck for a Christmas present idea. Go on to Amazon, search for Jonathan Fisher, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, and look up his books and order them because they're excellent. And I mean that, they're excellent. Jesse Smith is back in the house after 6 weeks. Can you believe it's been 6 weeks since you've been on this show or what? Where's the time going, my friend?
Time flies, I tell you, Rick. You know, a lot has happened, of course, in that 6 weeks. It's never a dull moment, that's for sure.
You know, the weird thing, you know, I can remember all the stuff we have been talking about. We've talked about Ukraine. We've talked about the Uvalde shootings. We've talked about the president, the Biden administration, all this stuff. Never mind the last 6 weeks. Forget those 6 weeks. Even if we rewind it back a week, right? Just in fact, not even a week, this week. Let's go from Monday. It's only Friday. My friend, there's a lot going on at the moment. Let's keep it US-centric here. And obviously, some of the writings that you've been doing, I want to dig into them as well. But Kamala Harris had a laugh this week. Kamala Harris is over in Korea. And there was a video released yesterday where she was standing on a platform with a big set of, you know, digital binoculars, you know, and she was looking through them and she says, wow, you can see Korea. You can see it. You can see it. And the Marine dude behind her said, look, you see those trees over there? That's Korea. And she's like, oh, right. You don't need the binoculars. It's just 50 meters across. So that's where you're. Okay. The Nord Stream 2. Who done it? Was it Poland? Was it Germany? Was it Russia? Self-sabotage? Was it the Biden administration? Who done it? That's on everybody's lips. And of course, the relentless march towards digitization, amongst other things. What's been catching your eye, my friend, this week? What's been catching Jesse Smith's eye?
There was another thing on the Kamala Harris that she actually announced that the U.S. had a really strong partnership with North Korea.
Maybe that was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, it was like, wow, I don't think anyone in America knew that. I thought our alliance was with South Korea, but, you know, sometimes those, Kamala, like you said, those slip of the tongues. You know, she's
there's no shortage of
that we don't know.
There's no shortage of material when it comes to Kamala Harris, let's be honest about it. But yeah, she's caught your eye. What about this business? What about this business of Nord Stream? Because in and amongst everything else that's going on, I've heard some people say, what's the big deal? They weren't really using it. What's the big deal? It was only a pipe. It was only a pipe on the floor of the ocean. What's the big deal? So what if someone blew it up? It's only a pipe. It's only a pipe. It's a little bit more than a pipe, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, you know, I look at this. This is an act of war. This is war sabotage. You know, if you are destroying the property of another country, especially something as vital as a pipeline that, you know, pumps natural gas and could be used as a vital source of energy. Transference, and also it's important for their economy as well. So this is definitely, obviously they're blaming it on sabotage. Okay, well, we know it's sabotage. I mean, that's obvious. Mm-hmm. So the question is, like you said, who has done this? And, you know, with Biden footage surfacing of him back in February talking about if Russia provokes this war with Ukraine, then, you know, Nord Stream 2 will be no more. And when further asked about it, he said, you know, what do you mean? He said, we'll find a way to end it. So it doesn't look good for the Biden administration in terms of having that, you know, statement on record. Honestly, you know, like I said, we don't know who done it. It makes no sense that Russia or Putin would destroy their own property, their own pipeline. Of course, they're trying to blame it on sabotage by Russia themselves, but that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fly when you look at everything that's taking place. Why would they do that? You know, that'd be like the U.S., you know, blowing up our own, you know, like, you know, say in the Port of Houston, for example, which is one of the biggest shipping and oil producing regions in the country. Why would we do something like that to sabotage our own infrastructure, especially if we're using that to transport to, say, Mexico or other countries? It just doesn't make any sense.
And of course, he could have simply turned, they have a valve at their end, you know, they have a valve. So if they wanted to restrict the movement of any materials through that, the natural gas, they just switch off the valve. This thing, by the way, it took years to build and at a cost of, you know, 10 plus billion. You know, it would have been a foolish move on his part to blow up his own pipeline. Some people are saying, well, yeah, of course, but that's he's doing what everyone expects that he wouldn't do. No, he doesn't stand to do anything from this. This is this is an act of sabotage. And not only Biden in February, but Victoria Nuland in January said the same thing. And her words were along the line. She's one sinister woman. She is one sinister individual. If you watch her talk, I don't know what it is, Jesse, but some people, you just look at them and they're just wicked. Madeleine Albright was another one. What an evil, wicked woman she was.
Yeah.
Don't think the bad guys are all guys, all right? There's a lot of wicked women out there. There's a lot of very evil, twisted women that actually make the men look tame in some cases. Yeah. And Nuland is one of them. She said if Putin crosses the border with tanks, etc., Nord Stream 2 by hook or by crook absolutely will not go ahead. And I think that Biden thing that you referenced, when he was pushed on it, at the time, he had a little black earpiece in, so maybe Obama was whispering in his ear exactly what to say. His old handler, Obama, he was said, well, how can you do that? That's German business. And he said, we'll do it, I promise, I think was his words. Don't quote me on that, but check the interview. So it's been telegraphed. And the CIA warned Germany recently, and there was Black Hawks seen in the area, and they're testing underwater explosive drones. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to put this picture together, does it?
It doesn't look good at all. So, like you said, all you have to do is put the pieces of the puzzle together and figure out, well, the burden of proof is on the side of those who have talked about this openly. And there's plenty of evidence that implicates, you know, all the people that you just mentioned, you know, the CIA, Biden, Victoria Nuland. And I would throw in probably the whole NATO alliance in that, because you know, you can't pull something like that off without, you know, other member countries, you know, knowing about it and being in on it. So it definitely doesn't look good. And it, you know, I caught a glimpse of Putin saying something about, you know, hey, it's not us who are trying to restrict your access to energy. It's your own leaders. So this kind of fits in with exactly what he said. Yeah, it fits in exactly with what he said.
And it's painful. It's painful to admit that he's talking a lot of sense when you join the dots up, whether you love him or hate him. And I think everybody's part of the whole pantomime, including Putin, including Xi Jinping.
Me too.
But it's hard to argue with some of the statements that he's coming out with above and beyond the statements that our so-called leaders and representatives are doing. We've got to take a quick ad break. When we come back, I want to look at some of these statements, what possible retaliation could happen. There's talk about you know, him bombing underwater internet cables, because Russia's very insular with internet. China's very insular. But we depend on transatlantic cables running around. And boy, does Putin have a lot of submarines at his disposal. And I'm sure he has a few explosive drones of his own that he's itching to get into action, maybe field test them on the Atlantic. Next thing you know, maybe you and I will never connect again if he bombs our transatlantic cables. Time will tell. We'll look at some of the scenarios when we come back after the break here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
People say, this is crazy. Why is Joe Biden doing this? It makes no sense. Well, first of all, Joe Biden's doing nothing. Joe Biden's lucky if he can make it to the podium. He's not running the country. The people running him are the ones running the country. His chief of staff, Valerie Jarrett, all of Obama's people, the senior executive service that Obama put in every single executive department. Joe Biden isn't running the country. And the people that are running the country, these are hardcore Marxists. In the words of John Kerry when he was running for president in 2004, America needs to be taken down a peg. This is their ethos. This is what they believe. It's all part of cultural Marxism. People ask, what's cultural Marxism? Well, Marxism is an economic philosophy where the people that control the means of production control the workers, and all the workers have is their labor to trade for money. And Marx was a revolutionary that advocated a proletariat overthrow of the capitalist system, implementing socialism. Well, cultural Marxism uses the same principles, but it applies it to things like religion and society and education.
Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened
at SalemNow.com. for the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
Everybody here wants information about what's going on.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm very happy to be joined again this morning by Jesse Smith, who, by the way, can be connected with on Twitter at Truth Unmuted. Truth Unmuted, and also he has a website, truthunmuted.org. Follow him there. I want to talk about a piece that you've been working on in the second bit of our slot here today. I've got a message for you. No joke, all joking aside. Someone's listening in, someone we both know. Mr. Seek for Truth, Indy, none other than Indy. He said, hey, Rick, been listening to the show this morning. Send Jesse my regards. So regards are being sent to you as we speak from Seek for Truth. Also, he said, mentioned the CBDC Twitter space we did recently. So a few nights ago, David Nolan from Stop Common Pass at SCPORG, I think it is on Twitter. You can check him out there. He organized the Twitter space. We had a good discussion on digital identity, the importance of the use of cash, CBDCs, dipped a little bit into the crypto debate, whether or not it was the way forward and or part of the way forward. So check that out on Twitter. Look up Stop Common Pass, and I think there's a link through there probably to the show that was uploaded. Indy's on there as well. And yeah, it was a good space. So that's a little bit of a plug for that. But check out Jesse's work at Truth Unmuted, and also truthunmuted.org on his webpage. So before we go into the writings, because I want to have a good run at it, we've got a few minutes, 5 minutes, taking us up to the news here. Retaliations. I mean, you can't poke the great bear and not expect to get a bite. That's all there is to it. Forget about diplomacy. Diplomacy's dead. Right, diplomacy died in February when they went straight to sanctions on Russia after they went into Ukraine. There was no diplomacy. They escalated it immediately. They've continued to escalate it. They have discouraged people from brokering peace because they have a vested interest. They being predominantly American, their handlers in NATO, they want this to go hot. There's a lot at stake for the globalists. They need this to go hot. They don't want this to blow over. So the narrative is now Putin's losing. The narrative is Putin's losing, and all things must be pulled out to make sure we defeat him, to save everybody and keep us all free. The pipeline gets busted. You can't do stuff. You just can't do stuff like that and expect to get away with it. So there must be, there has to be payback. You just can't do that. There has to be payback. So what do you think would be maybe the next step? Obviously, you don't know, but we're speculating here. Could it be an undersea internet outage? Because we haven't had that yet, and we've been sort of readying ourselves for internet outages. Could we see a bomb underseas, and next thing we all go blank when it comes to our internet connectivity? Maybe. What do you think?
You know, anything is possible, and that's certainly something that's probably on the table. It would fit right in line with all the warnings that we had been receiving from Klaus Schwab and, you know, that whole initiative about the cyber attacks on our infrastructure, definitely taking out our internet. And what better way? I mean, this has been an ancient war strategy for forever, you know, to take out communications. If you can stop communications from going forward, then that gives you an advantage. So it's definitely probably something that's on the table. And, you know, I just see this. I think there was a headline in Newsweek last week that ran this headline, U.S. needs to threaten Russia with a nuclear strike. So, I mean, we're actually calling for nuclear strikes. I mean, I thought that was, you know, mutually assured destruction. You know, once you go down that road, there's no turning back. So you hope that cooler heads are prevailing, but cooler heads are not prevailing. They are continuing to stoke the fire. Like you said, at every opportunity, instead of trying to reach peace agreements, they have continued to escalate. They've continued to do things to, like you said, provoke the bear. And where are the people in all of this? You know, where's the outcry? You know, we're not seeing anything like what we saw during like the Vietnam War, the protests and things like that. And this is even potentially more dangerous because this could eventually engulf pretty much the whole world. So yeah, we're heading in dangerous, dangerous territory. I believe all of this is deliberate. I believe the globalists, you know, desire all of this chaos because I believe they think they're going to rebuild the world in their image after all of this chaos has taken place. So I just see all of these things falling into place like pieces of a puzzle being put together. And we are the pawns, the people.
And a cornered animal is a dangerous animal. It doesn't matter how big they are or how vicious they are. When you put an animal into a corner, and I'm thinking really in the globalist sense, they really are seeing narratives falling apart. Granted, they still have some leverage, but by and large, the cracks are appearing here. You know, there's only so far they can push this pantomime. And I do believe, Jesse, that they have a scorched earth mentality that even if they go down, right, even if they are defeated like in a year, in 18 months, in 6 months, they want to cause as much destruction and devastation to say, well, we lost, but you're not going to recover from this either. It's like an abusive partner. You sometimes read about a guy or a girl who say, well, if I can't have you, no one's going to have you. You dump me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your kids, and then I'm going to kill myself. I lose you, but no one else is going to have you. I'm sorry to say, but I believe our world leaders are aligned with a cabal that has this mentality. Plan B is if we fail, they go down no matter what. They're going down if we succeed. They're going to go down if we fail. That's a very pessimistic outlook, but that, you've got to put yourself into their heads. They're not out for our benefit. They don't have a good side. They don't have a redeeming features here. They're wicked, evil through and through, all of them. So expect the worst. You know, when you dance with the devil, what do you think's going to happen? You think he's going to pat you in the head and compliment you on your outfit? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, to devour the weak. There is no middle ground. You know, and by the way, you know, the analogies used, Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking who he will devour. Devour, I don't know, well, you probably haven't, but I've seen corpses of animals that a lion has eaten. Do you know all that's left? Usually the hoof, a zebra's hoof. Everything is consumed, ripped apart. Their teeth can break bones. They eat the skull. They eat the rib cage. They eat the internal organs. They eat everything except the hoofs, which are probably not very tasty or nutritious. That's what the globalists want to do. They don't want to take a bite out of you. They don't want to give you a bite in the leg. They don't want to give you a bite in the ass. They want to devour, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. People, know your enemy. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, we've got to take a quick news break, literally 30 seconds. When we come back, let's look at the concept of MAD, mutually assured destruction. Will they go that far? And I promise we shall dig into your latest peace writings and what you've been doing on Truth Unmuted. Don't go away, please. If we haven't frightened you off, stay here on TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. 15,000 potentially fatal fentanyl pills disguised as rainbow-coloured candy have been seized in the US state of Connecticut, stashed in Skittles and Nerds packets and set to be sold to teenagers for Halloween. US President Joe Biden's done it again, caught on camera, this time looking for a dead congresswoman at an event at the White House. And Russia says the attack on its Nord Stream pipelines appear to be the result of state-sponsored terrorism.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, Jesse, you mentioned MAD, which for all you people out there, that's not a reference to us and the people that are on the show. That stands for mutually assured destruction, which up to this point has been the thing that has prevented nuclear strikes in the past. We build up nuclear arsenals not to use them, but to deter other nations from using them. So America's arsenal is to deter Russia from using their arsenal, and Russia's arsenal is to deter them from America from using theirs. You have outlier countries like Iran who want to develop nuclear weapons. They're not interested in deterring anyone. They want to hit someone with it and take out a few million people. All right. So that's why they're not allowed uranium or plutonium or whatever it is they stick into those bombs. But anyway, MAD, will it happen? Personally, I think not. But there is talk of what's called a tactical nuclear strike, or the, how would you say, a Chernobyl-esque bombing of a nuclear power plant, resulting in a lot of carnage and fallout, etc., etc. Could we see a small, if there is such a thing, a mini nuclear strike here and there to kill a few million people and escalate things further? Because we're gonna get an extravaganza, my friend. I think they need something breathtakingly horrific to really rack up the fear that extra notch. It'll be like 9/11 on steroids, I think. And what could be better for that than a Hiroshima Nagasaki-esque detonation with all their consent, blaming it on Russia, and so on and so forth. What do you think of that?
I think you have hit the nail right on the head, because like you just mentioned, you know, before the break, there is really nowhere else for them to go right now, because like you said, the narrative is about so many things, climate change, the pandemic, you know, the vaccines, the narrative about so many things have really fallen apart. You know, one thing that has encouraged me is seeing how many people have refused these new booster shots, you know, and how many people refuse to give their children the COVID vaccines once they were quote unquote authorized. So people are taking note. Obviously, there are still some who are in the dark, still some who are blinded and believing the propaganda and succumbing to the fear mongering. But there's a large number of people that are waking up, and I am so grateful to see this. I see it personally in my own family and amongst my own friends and people that I work with. So I see it. It's happening. And I believe that, like you talked about, the globalists, they're afraid that people are waking up. They don't want, you know, they don't want everything to crumble. So I think as a last ditch effort, this is they're in desperation mode right now. So anything is possible. And I just saw there's a letter written by he's a former state senator. He wrote an open letter to Congress. And basically, you know, questioning them, he's saying he's hearing a lot of loose talk from both sides here in America, Democrats and Republicans talking about suggesting, you know, using nuclear weapons against Russia. And he's, you know, trying to bring some common sense. He's like, hey, you know, if we do this, then they're going to respond in kind. So do you really want to go down this route? And rather, it's like you said, it's a tactical nuke that is, you know, aimed at destroying some type of nuclear facility or some kind of energy, you know, power plant or energy grid or something like that. Okay, well, if we do that over there, what's to stop them from doing it, you know, in European countries, in the U.S. or any of the NATO allied countries? So you're looking at escalating things to a point where you really can't return from. And do we really want that?
Oh, no, I mean, like, we certainly don't. I saw a clip. Someone had put together a simulation, a really good simulation on YouTube on what a nuclear war would look like. They just put a map up, you know, a global map, and they'd done a time lapse. So it was the first 12 hours, the first 24 hours, then they sped it up to a month, 2 months, 3 months, then a year, 2 years, and 3 years. Because people think, well, you know, there's going to be nuclear bombs going off and people blown up. That's the least of your worries, strangely enough. That's the least of your worries. It showed you the, you know, time elapsed, 1 minute, 2 minutes. The first major places, LA would be hit, Moscow would be hit, London would be hit, Dublin would be hit, wherever, Paris, Italy, and all this. And then the secondary explosions. And then after like the first day of constant bombing, then there's a silence, as it were, and then the radiation cloud starts to spread. And it's like, well, Africa's fine. No, 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 no. It permeates everything. It gets in the atmosphere. So you go from the bombing phase to the fallout phase. And then you go from the fallout phase into a protracted nuclear winter where the sky's filled with ash and the sunlight doesn't get through and global temperatures go down and there's famine and this lasts for years and there's nothing you can do about it. People, if there is a nuclear war, and I'm sorry to say this, hope you get hit on day one. Hope you get blocked on day one because you do not want to be living through mutations. And, you know, 28 days after Will Smith-style scenarios or Mad Max-style scenarios and then into a nuclear winter where you go Terminator-style scenarios. I don't know about you, mate, but take me home, Lord, take me home. In fact, if there's going to be a nuke, I hope it hits me right on the head. What a way to go, being hit by an H-bomb right on the nut. Lord, make it happen if you want to do it that way, but not my will, but yours be done. But I don't want to be living in a hole. I don't want to be in a bunker, do you? Putting a Geiger counter on my water, taking my cockroach pills. Hell no. Take me home. What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and these elitists believe that they probably will be protected from all of this because they've got their underground bunkers and they've got, you know, their silos that they're building and all of these measures that they have taken. So they probably feel like they can outlast the nuclear winter. But, you know, I think karma has a way of, you know, reaching people who believe that they are not going to reap what they have sown, but they will reap what they have sown if they go in this direction.
They will. And what a life to listen. Say you had a bunker. Say you were a multi-billionaire globalist. You, all right? And you're like, well, I don't care because I've got my bunker and my family will be fine and we've got our own water supply and our own air supply and we've got food to last for years. And I've got a chef and I've got communications. I've got an Xbox. I've got whatever. I'll be in my bunker. And do what? And do what? Live like a rat in a hole? Because listen, there's an old saying that even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Okay, so by all means, tunnel into the ground, pour your concrete, install your air filtration systems and your freezer units and your power generation supplies. You're going to be, even if you're a globalist and you succeed in this, you're still going to be living like a rat in a hole in the ground forever. Is that any kind of way to live? I mean, like, really? Have they even thought about this?
No, there's no way to live at all. And you know, this is why they're pushing, you know, that we need to reach Mars because they actually, what they'd rather do is live in space like Elysium. You know, they'd rather, you know, live above us and so that they can look down on us like the little, you know, ants and cockroaches that they think that we are while they're, you know, in space in their space station and, you know, living comfortably and watching, you know, the people on the earth squirm because of all the terror that they've unleashed. So that's really their ultimate goal, which I don't believe they're ever going to reach, but that's really what they have in mind.
You're making me laugh here in a good way. You know, I'm picturing this and, you know, there's a PC game and you can get it on a console that's called Command and Conquer. Okay. It's like a PC game where you control armies and troops and you can build things and you can take over worlds and colonize people and rule your own little online world. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, et cetera, the Rothschild. If you're listening, if you should happen to be listening in, get yourself a copy of Command and Conquer on a big plasma screen, sit up really close to it, and act out your globalist fantasies on your Xbox. Leave us the hell alone, please. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not too much to ask, you know. But you know, they've probably already done their simulations, you know, and their huge AI, you know, powered machines and I forget what you got, quantum computing and all of this kind of stuff. So they've done their war games. They've planned all this stuff out. But one thing they can't account for is the plan of God. So
no, they can't. They can't. I have jokingly here. I have often thought about Bill Gates as a young boy. And there's a lot of kids out there that are a little weird. Okay, I was a weird kid myself, so I can't talk. I don't know about you, I can only talk about me. And some kids have very strange ideas and very strange thoughts. Thankfully, most of them come to nothing because they just you know, live a normal life. But some of them have these crazy thoughts and ideas, and then they succeed in life and they become wealthy, and then they start to act out their wildest fantasies and dreams and crazy ideas. I believe Gates is one of them. I believe since he's been a kid, since he's been no age, he's had these weird thoughts and ideas about ruling the world or whatever. And I know he's only one of many in a cabal and all. I know all that, but for sure he is motivated by mass murder. And I'm talking, you know, there was a doctor in England called Harold Shipman, a GP. He killed like 200 of his patients. He injected them with sodium or whatever, and he killed them all, and he ended up being jailed. He was England's biggest mass murderer. That's nothing. He's an amateur compared to the like of Gates. I would say if you totted up his kill count of all the botched jabs and polio vaccines and everything else and fallout from lockdowns and his he must be in the tens of millions by now and counting. I don't think he's going to be happy until he reaches like seven-figure death rates. And even then he won't be happy. But sadly, my friend, for now, he has his season. He's having his season. But there's a time and a season to every purpose under the sun. And his day, let me say this, his day will come. And when it comes, he's going to be sorry, but it's going to be too late at that point in time. So anyway,
yep.
For all you people listening who are discouraged and disgruntled by the way this is going, it's only for a finite time. Their time absolutely will come. And when judgment falls on their heads, it will be decisive and all-encompassing. So I want to say that. I want to take another break. And I promise when we come back, we're going to dig into this latest article here. So I wish we had like 2 hours today. But I know you've got other things. You've got to go to work. It's early in the morning and I've got to hand over to someone else. But I'm enjoying the conversation with you and I have a lot to catch up on. But yeah, come back, listener. Go and make yourself a cup of tea if you have time. Take a pee if you need to and wash your hands and then come back and tune in for the last 15 minutes of Locked and Loaded today on TNT Radio.
Whoa, peddling fake meat leads to cannibalism?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
A top executive of the fake meat company Beyond Meat was arrested for biting a man's nose, ripping the flesh off the tip of the nose.
The food company executive was arrested in Fayetteville after police say he bit a man's nose. 53-year-old Doug Ramsey is facing charges of terroristic threatening and third-degree battery. According to the police reports, it happened in a parking garage near Razorback Stadium.
So a fake meat company that Al Gore is heavily invested in and is part of his quest to be the world's first fake meat billionaire has been arrested for eating human flesh? Let's get this straight. Real animal meat is verboten to eat, but human flesh is fine to munch on? There have been climate activists claiming that unchecked climate change will lead to human cannibalism. Well, we may have our first case. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural, or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area, or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government delivered by the NFF.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT. By the way, if you haven't been frightened off, you can reach out to me. Reach out to me, yes, and connect with me on my web. Not my web address, my email address, which is rickmunn@tntradio.live. Leave feedback, leave suggestions, leave compliments, leave criticisms, leave whatever you want. And I'll have a look at them genuinely. I'll have a scan and I might even get back to you and implement some of your suggestions. So yesterday I was communicating with this gentleman, Jesse Smith, and he informed me that he's working on a new article highlighting the push to destroy human dignity. The themes are human augmentation, human extinction, transgender agenda, biotech and genetic engineering, AI and robots. We're not going to get through all that. But I want to focus on the theme being the push to destroy human dignity. Now, this isn't something you wrote about, but I saw something yesterday that made me think of your article. And your article is found on truthunmuted.org and at truthunmuted on Twitter. Go and look at it, read it, download it, print it, hand it out to someone. But this destruction of dignity. Yesterday, I don't know when it happened, but there was a video that was put up that made me think of your article. And it was a video of a woman on stage with a crystal flute, apparently a presidential crystal flute that was 200 odd years old, that had never been played or blown before. You know, it was like a ceremonial thing, part of the White House. And somehow it had been brought to this concert and given to this woman to blow it for the first time. Okay, so it was something precious, something that meant something in America, something that was revered or, you know, reverenced as something important and historic and had significance. And, you know, typical rap concert, I'm sorry to say, pretty much buck naked woman writhing and wobbling around on the stage, takes the presidential flute and, you know, puts it to her mouth, makes some disgusting gestures and then blows a note and then starts shaking her ass all over the place with this flute in her hand. I'm not knocking rappers here, by the way. I'm just saying it's almost like they took that thing and removed the dignity and removed the reverence. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from. And the article isn't written yet. It's almost done. I hope to have it up at least by tomorrow. But the whole theme of what I'm talking about in this article is basically there's a quote by Gilbert Chesterton. And he said, when people begin to ignore human dignity, it will not be long before they begin to ignore human rights. Mm. And we're seeing this push in every phase of society. I was laughing, kind of also appalled by that commercial talking about the CEO of Beyond Meat biting off someone's nose. Huh. And we're seeing things like trying to normalize cannibalism. Assisted death and suicide is on the rise. We're seeing, you know, declining birth rates and sterility and infertility rising. Something else the commercial talked about, one of the promos talked about earlier was the fentanyl and how it's being pushed like candy, like, you know, Skittles almost. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, I just saw an article a few days ago talking about how California has legalized turning dead humans into compost. Obviously, we have this transhuman agenda with microchipping and the Internet of Bodies and trying to replace human beings with robots and AI. And there's a whole broad agenda that is attempting to remove humanity from the image of God and replace it with the imagination of man. So you've got people like Yuval Harari, who we've talked about before. Mm. But this is a dangerous man because the ideologies that he is peddling is very dangerous. And people need to really take note of what he's saying, because it's not just him saying it. This is the belief system of many who are in these globalist cabal who are pushing us in these directions. And one thing he stated, and I want to read this quote because
yes,
it tells you exactly what is on their mind and how they think. He recently stated, he said, the whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. And here's the key point. He said, that's over. That's over. So he's telling you that not only do you not have a soul or a spirit, but that you also don't have free will.
Yeah, it sounds sort of like the devil to me, if you ask me that, you know, and that's all he is. He's just a spokesman for a darker, higher power. And that article, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, but something you touched on there as well, I mentioned it in the first hour of the show. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but it ties in. But Virgin Atlantic, for example, the airline.
Yeah.
Are in a lot of financial trouble at the moment. And Richard Branson has came out this week and said that staff will be able to cross dress and do their thing. Have you seen that? No, I don't
saw
know
that.
If you're aware
of, yes.
Well, are you on your computer at the moment?
I am.
Yeah. Well, look up, search for Richard Branson, drag. Just search for it right now and see what comes up. This is the CEO of Virgin Atlantic, and you'll probably see a lot of pictures coming up with him dressed as an air hostess with red lipstick and blue eyeliner and short skirt and black stockings and high heel shoes. Now look, can you see that?
I see them all. Yep.
Is he not debasing himself?
Tons of pictures.
Is he not debasing himself? Is he not removing his own dignity? And listen, I'm not talking about people, and I'm not judging anyone. If your thing is to go and dress like a woman or whatever, that's fair enough. But this guy allegedly did that because he lost a bet. That was 2013. That was 9 years ago. All right. So because he lost a bet, he did something that he wasn't comfortable with, in inverted commas, although he may well have been, and put himself out there to be ridiculed and to be laughed at as an element of scorn. He debased himself. Do you understand? And it's like they're taking something. And there's a verse. Let me say this as we're talking, and this is a good way to end the week up. Okay, there's a verse that came to my mind, one verse in the Bible, and it's in the book of Ecclesiastes. You'll like this one. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking smell. So does a little folly in him that has a reputation for wisdom and honor." If you're in a position like that, you don't debase yourself. You don't humiliate yourself. You don't perform ritual humiliation. Why? What's it like? Imagine the most expensive cologne, the most expensive perfume, and someone takes a dead cockroach or a dead fly and drops it into it. You don't see the cologne. You don't see the fancy bottle. You don't see the price tag. You just see a filthy, dirty, dead insect in it. If you have a position where people look up to you and respect you or look to you for leadership and inspiration, you do not debase yourself. You do not take that which is holy and cast it before the pigs, because they will turn and trample you underfoot. And Jesse, I'm sorry to say, but I'm seeing this all over the world. I'm seeing people debasing themselves, humiliating, ritual humiliation of self. And when you have no sense of self and no self-respect, how can you respect other people and have a sense of respect for others when you don't even respect yourself? That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
As you're talking, you're triggering me to think things. So I hope you don't mind me sharing those thoughts with you.
No, it's just, it goes back to the story that you just talked about with the flutist. You know, you look at everywhere, every entertainment venue is all tainted, like you said, with women who say they want to be respected for more than being a sex object, but who yet always turn themselves into sex objects, you know, twerking and doing all this other stuff on stage, and everything turns into a circus, literally, with human debasement, humans doing things that previously would have been considered shameful, but now there is no shame. And one of the reasons why is because people like Yuval Harari are telling us that we are nothing but hackable animals.
Yeah.
You know, we are not divine. We do not have a soul. We don't have a spirit. We're not made in the image of God. We are just a collection of cells and organs that can be manipulated and turned into something else. And they are trying to turn humanity into something else. They have an image. They have an imagination. And they want
to
merge us.
The world. To debase the world. One
just
last
like
thing,
they are.
Like they are. I don't know if you've seen this or not. This will blow your mind if you haven't seen this. But Hillary and Chelsea Clinton recently had a sit down with Megan Thee Stallion. And Hillary was telling Megan how, you know, she got introduced through WAP. Okay, and you don't want to know what that is if you're not a rap fan, but did you ever think you would see Hillary Clinton say she was inspired by WAP? And the bizarre thing was, my friend, that wasn't the crazy thing. The crazy thing was they were sitting together outside with easels, paintbrushes, canvases, and painting watercolors as Chelsea explained her love of gangster rap and so on and so forth. And Hillary advocating for, yeah, you're a strong, powerful woman. Mate, if that doesn't convince you that the world is going,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what does
for people to wake up. But listen, that's a humor. That's a sort of little bit of irreverent humor there to end the show on. We're out of time. I wish we had longer. I always enjoy speaking with you. That's Jesse Smith from truthunmuted.org. Link up with him on Twitter at truthunmuted. Big salute to you. Lovely to see you again. Always have a laugh.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
It's early where you are. Enjoy your day, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. Big love to the family. I'm Rick Munn. This was TNT Radio. Thanks to Luke and Jeff in the studio this week for doing a sterling job. All my guests. And if God wills, I'll be back on Monday morning to do it all over again. Welcome back. Have a great weekend. I'm off, locked and loaded, over and out.